It's 2:10. Alison Ferns here with you until 4 o'clock on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. And it's time to talk It's time to talk technology with our gadget detective, Fevzi. If you have a question for Fevzi, you can get in touch. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. And he pretty much can answer queries on anything from tumble dryers to smartphones. Fevzi, let's start with your gadget of the week, shall we?
Yep. So it's a piece of software called Snagit, that's S-N-A-G-I-T, or one word. It's a software application for users of Windows PCs, but also Macs. And it's designed to allow you to do screen captures, screen recordings of videos. When you've got those images, it allows you to put circles around and mark them up in various ways. So this basic functionality exists in Windows already, but this is like so much better. It's a tool that I use every day. So for example, you know, when I send you an email each before each show,
yeah,
I send you little images. Those are grabbed using Snagit, and the reason I use Snagit, so if I just grab those, you wouldn't get the text at the bottom that appears on the screen. So you can grab any part of a screen. So why would you want to do this? Well, that's a good question. Let me answer. There are many reasons why you'd want to do this. For example, let's say you buy something online and you think that, oh, well, the price, they might dispute the price. They might say it's an error, or it didn't say that, or the description was different. You can grab not just what's on the screen, but the whole web page. Yeah. So you press the grab button and it scrolls down through the whole web page and it grabs it and puts it in a single image. So you can keep that as evidence. On the other hand, let's say someone tweets something outrageous and you're pretty sure they're going to delete it momentarily. You grab it on the screen beforehand. Equally, you can grab video as well, either as it appears on the screen or in the new version of Snagit, which is, I think, version 13 now, you can actually grab the video from a webcam as well and record that, and then you can post it out onto YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or what have you. So there's lots and lots of functionality. The markup tool that I like is, let's say something is happening with your computer and you're speaking to tech support and you can't quite describe to them what you're seeing on the screen. Not only can you grab the screen, but you can draw a circle or a ring around the thing or put an arrow against it, so you can very easily mark up an image. Or
like they do on Match of the Day.
Yep, exactly that sort of thing, yeah. Or let's say, you know, you want to tweet out a picture of yourself and your cars in the background, but you want to blur out or pixelate the number plate. It will do that sort of thing for you very, very simply as well. So a plethora of uses. It can also, now the new version also does 4K video capture as well. So that's the ultra high definition videos that we're now starting to see on the internet. This thing can grab them. So all those services that have video that you're not really meant to have a copy of, you can grab it. Of course, you mustn't do it if you don't own it, but it does give you that capability.
You're not telling us to do naughty things, are you?
Would I do that, Alison?
Okay, just checking.
No,
just
I would certainly never recommend that anyone grabs anything that they don't own the intellectual property to.
How much does this app cost?
So it's priced in dollars, and it's a shade under $50, so it's not cheap, but put it this way, as soon as I've put it on my system some years ago, I don't think there's been a day that I haven't used it.
And, so you get your money's worth out of it.
And all these years later, I'm still finding new uses for it, things that I could do with it that I didn't realise, or, you know, my feeling is, frankly, that either Microsoft or Apple should have bought it and built it into their operating system because it's so useful. But they haven't done that, so you need to do it. But it's a real time saver. As I say, there aren't many utilities I would say spend $50 on, because that's not cheap. But it's something that you'll get the benefit of every day that you use your computer.
So, gadget of the week, Snagit by TechSmith for Windows PC and Mac users. Lynn calls from Brighton with a question on email access. Lynn, you're through to Fevzi.
Oh, thank you, Alison. Hello, Fevzi.
Hello, Lynn.
I must say at the start, I'm not very technically minded. I was okay with Windows XP.
Yeah.
But since I've had this Windows 7, and over the past week, I've had great difficulty in accessing my emails. I started to think it might have been affected by the storms we had, because my daughter's was.
Yeah.
But sometimes it won't let me get in at all, or it won't accept my username and password.
Right.
Another time it'll get to the stage where you'll get loading and then nothing happens. It doesn't go any further. And then it won't even let me switch it off. I have to just leave it on until it automatically switches off.
Right, I understand. Okay, so you're using Windows 7 now, Lynn.
And, yes.
And what sort of email are you using? Is it webmail, the sort that you get from within the browser, or is it using a separate program for that? Can you tell us what sort it is?
Well, it's from the browser.
It's in the browser, okay. And when you mentioned the storms and so forth, are you able to access the internet for things other than email? Can you, for example, look at other web pages? Other than for your email? Are you able to go
very,
to...
Not very well, no. Well,
when you say not very well, can you get, for example, to the BBC site or to, you know, Google site or something like that, or is it just not giving you access at all?
Well, no, if I put that into the address bar,
yeah,
it just won't accept it.
Okay, so it sounds to me that the problem may not be specifically to do with your email, but rather that because you're accessing the email through a web browser, that it's giving the same sorts of problems, but you're having problems with, sounds like, pretty much any web page. So it could be that your internet service has failed, and that could be something quite separate to what's going on your computer. How long has it been like this, Lynn?
Well, a good week now. I've spent hours.
Right.
And hours. Okay.
And does it sometimes allow you to access things and then stop again?
It does occasionally, yeah.
Yep.
And then just freezes.
Okay.
So and won't let me move to anything else.
I understand.
Or even switch it off.
Okay. So there's two possibilities that spring to mind. One is that the internet service, i.e. the data service of data coming in and leaving your home, may be impaired. There may be a fault with your internet service provider, and that would be the first thing to check. So do you know what internet service provider you're with, Lynn?
Virgin.
Okay, so
I did phone them this morning,
and
actually,
what they told you?
And they seem to think that it's all right their end, everything's working. But I hadn't realized previously I was with TalkTalk.
Yeah.
And I still access my emails through the TalkTalk page. That's what comes up.
Right. But you will still be accessing, if you're with Virgin, that probably means that you've got cable internet rather than through a phone line.
Oh, yes.
And you can still access TalkTalk through Virgin's internet network. So if they're telling you that it's okay, then that then raises the possibility that your computer itself has become unstable. Have you tried doing a full system scan to make sure, for example, that there's no viruses or other infections on there? Do you have an antivirus on your computer?
Well, I did do a scan. I've had Avast free antivirus.
Yeah.
On it for a long time.
Yes.
And all that came up fine. There was a couple of things that they hadn't passed, and they wanted me to buy some further.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they will. They'll try and sell you things I am an advocate of paying for good internet security software, although I wouldn't necessarily say that would be the one that I would go for. Is the machine, you said the machine wouldn't let you shut it down sometimes. Is it just the browser it won't let you shut down, or the whole machine won't shut down?
The whole thing. You know, okay. You go to the, with this laptop, the top right hand corner, and you get the little cross to click on, and it closes it.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been doing that.
And when you go to the bottom left-hand corner and you go to the start menu, which ironically is where you shut a computer down from...
Yeah, it hasn't got that start thing on it.
Are you sure you haven't moved to Windows 10 without knowing it?
No, I haven't, because...
I'm sorry, and Lynn, forgive the question, but a lot of people are waking up these days, switching on their computers and finding that Microsoft has very kindly...
automatically done it.
Yes, done it, to people, despite their best efforts.
Well, that happened about 3 weeks ago, and I was so petrified,
right.
I took the damn thing on the bus to the nearest IT shop.
Yeah.
And all he said to me was, well, let it finish and then come back and I'll remove it for you.
Right.
But when So I brought it back home and let it sit there. Mm-hmm. And I was telling my next door neighbour, and he said to me, "Have you clicked the accept box?" I said, "No, I haven't clicked anything." He said, "Well, then disconnect, click on the decline box," and it put it back, and it did.
Right. Okay. So it sounds to me what's happened is you're one of these people who got upgraded to Windows 10 without knowing it and without wanting it. Bad Microsoft. And what you need to be able to do is roll it back. Now, you rolled it back, but that process seems to have destabilized your installation of Windows 7. And that's the problem that we have. So what you really need is you're going to need some, unfortunately, a little bit of expert help in either reinstalling Windows 7, a clean version for you, because what's happened is I believe it's become corrupted. Your version of Windows has become corrupted by virtue of being in quotes upgraded and then unupgraded. That's a tricky process for Microsoft to pull off. And unfortunately, some people are finding that their machines sometimes don't work at all when they come back to their earlier operating system, or that they have these sorts of problems. So unfortunately, what you're going to need to do is either repair or reinstall that installation of Windows. And my best advice to you is, unfortunately, you're going to need to get some expert help with that. Now, that could be someone, you know, a friend or relative who knows what they're doing. Ideally, you would pay a professional to do it, but that's going to cost you upwards of £30 for someone to do that for you. And I'm so sorry to say that to you, because it's Microsoft's fault that this has happened.
Doesn't seem very fair, does it?
No, and can I just give a tip to other people about this? Microsoft have pulled all sorts of, forgive me, but smart manoeuvres to push people to Windows 10. They want everyone on Windows 10, even if it's not ideal for everyone. Yeah, they've done it. They relabeled it as a recommended update as opposed to an optional update, so that we're all advised to have recommended updates automatically installed for our security, and they took advantage of that process to push it through. If you do not want to be upgraded, and by the way, the free upgrade period is I think around the 30th of July ends. It's the first anniversary of the launch of Windows. But if you've decided that you don't want to be upgraded to Windows 10 now or for now, you can get a free tool called Never10. That's NEVR10. Never10 is a free download. You can get it from a website called GRC. It's from a trusted source. It's a source that I trust, a guy called Steve Gibson. And what that does is, when you install it, it actually prevents Windows 10 from installing, despite Microsoft's best efforts. And if Microsoft has downloaded 6.5 gigabytes of files onto your system in preparation for the upgrade that you never asked for and don't want, it will also delete those for you and free that space for you to use. So that's a useful tool. I'm using it. A lot of people are using it now, just to stop Microsoft from continually changing the rules and upgrading us, against our will. Windows 10 is a good operating system, but it's not for everybody. There are very legitimate reasons why people may not want it on their systems. They may be running old software or old hardware that's not compatible. It may be that they're not happy with the fact that Windows 10 tends to spy on your every move by default. People may not want to learn a new operating system. There's a plethora of perfectly valid reasons why we would want to stay with, say, Windows 7.
And you, as the user, you should be allowed to make that choice, surely.
Yeah.
Lynn, I hope you get that sorted. So, firstly, really saying, professional help probably needed here. Unless you know somebody who knows what they're doing, they can go back and uninstall whatever Microsoft have upgraded you to and reinstall what you had before. Lynn, thank you so much for your call. You can get in touch if you have a question or a query for our gadget detective. The number... 03 459 570 0057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. John calls from Brighton with a question on DVD drives on his PC. John, you're through to Fevzi.
Hello there.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hello there. Yeah, this is the situation. I've got a computer, I've got one DVD drive in there,
yep.
And what I wanted to do was I put another DVD drive in there as well, internally, so that basically I could copy one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've obviously got the leads, the SATA leads and everything else, AOK and everything else, right? So they were working fine for about a month. The thing that could confuse them about is the fact that I've also got one of these little things, devices, which you can charge up like a battery that you can then put onto your phone via a USB.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah? Right, so what happened was, anyway, I was the computer came on, and I was using one of the DVDs, and all of a sudden, I could smell burning, and I had a bit of smoke coming out the back of the computer.
Oh, that's never good.
So I thought, not very good. No, luckily, I mean, I obviously switched it off under the side panel, because obviously I know what I'm doing inside. But what actually was one of the actual leads, one of the power leads, was actually melting now to the back of one of the DVDs. Now, what I'm trying to work out is, I don't know whether there was a problem with having the two DVDs being running off the power unit, but as I said, there's plenty of spare leads and such for extra devices off the power unit.
Yep.
So I don't think it's that, but I'm wondering, is it to do with the fact of this other little sort of battery charger thing for the phone, which you put through USB? And I'm wondering whether, because I had that going sometimes when I was using the DVD, and I'm wondering whether there's been a short circuit or whether, in fact, power surged and it's made it melt. Because the actual terminals were all right, but they were burning through.
Right, right. Was it melting along sort of the length? Was it the plastic sleeving that was melting off it, or was it melting sort of at one end, as it were?
No, it was melting at one end. It was the connection. You know, onto the back of your DVD, you've got mainly like a little 4-pin one, and then you've got, I think they call it, I don't know, I think it's the word is a satellite, but I think the actual satellite itself that was actually melting.
Okay, so John, there's a number of possibilities here. One is the lead itself could be faulty. There are some very cheap leads that don't conform to standards, and that can cause the problem. It could be that you've got a fault in the power supply unit of the computer, and it's allowed too much current to flow through there. Because when it complies to, I mean, whichever way you look at it, you've got a hardware problem. It's not a software problem, and it's not caused by you charging up an external USB battery unit or anything like that. That takes that's a very low current compared to what a PC's power supply is capable of. So it's highly unlikely that it's anything to do with that. What you have is a hardware fault, whether it lies with the cable, the power supply, or the DVD drives is not clear. It's unlikely to be from airflow. If you have poor airflow through a computer, parts of it can warm up, but it's not normally warming up to the point where
cables
are melting. I'm sorry, John. So let me just say this. Because it's a hardware fault, and because we're dealing with mains electricity, the answer has to be that you need to have that professionally looked at. And it may be that you need a new power supply unit in there. And that doesn't necessarily have to cost the earth. You know, if it was the main circuit board or something, then, you know, it could be a non-economic repair. But you can get perfectly good power supplies for a few tens of pounds. The difficulty is, because we don't know what's caused that problem, I can't now say to you that that's a safe machine to plug in and switch on again. And I would really be looking at getting that checked. Just one side point, you don't need to have two DVD units in order to copy DVDs, by the way. What you can do is you can have a single DVD read-writer, use that to copy from the disk onto the hard drive of the computer, and then you can compress it, edit it, do whatever you want to it, and then you copy it back out to a second disk. Now, that does take a bit longer, but it actually is a lot more flexible in terms of what you can achieve. And I don't particularly like this copying from one DVD to another in real time, because if the computer gets distracted by something else, because it's a multitasking operating system, it may go off and start doing a download or something like that. You might start losing bits of data, whereas if you're copying it to a hard drive first and then back to an SSD, that's a much safer process.
The reason actually that I wanted to get another one was because there was a particular film that I could only get in region one from the States, and of course on the computers you could obviously select, obviously, but it only does, it gives you about two or three options, and then it locks it onto that region.
Yes.
what I was trying to do was record it onto, obviously it was playing in region one,
yeah,
and I was trying to record that onto a region two so I could use it, play it automatically through my standard other players and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you can't actually convert it over from one to two, can you?
There are ways, which I can't go into here, but there are ways of doing that. But my main concern at the moment, John, is the fact that your machine has melted a cable, which is bad news.
Yeah, I'm no expert, but when you see smoke coming out the back, I would say use it again, really. Yeah. So
unplug it, don't plug it in again, and take it to you know, there's a lot of good local engineers still out there that you can find.
Yeah.
And I'd take it to one of those. And what I would say to you, John, when you take it to someone, and the deal is this, please give me a quote for what you would charge me to fix this. Yeah, I'm not going to pay you to diagnose the problem. You tell me what the problem is, and then if I want to fix it at that price, I will. And then get a fixed price from them as well.
Don't get done.
Yeah.
Listening to you and John there, FevC, talking about Region 1, and you know what came to my mind? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Shall I just take a moment to explain? Really, because it's a fair point, and I didn't want to interrupt what he was saying. But so DVDs are sold all over the world in different countries, and the manufacturers of those DVDs and the Hollywood film companies that tend to produce them, they don't want you to be able to play American discs over here or European discs in China and so forth. So they divided the world into incompatible regions. So, you know, a certain region is America, North America, another one is Europe. And by that, they're trying to control the prices and the availability of discs around the world. So what John was trying to do was use a disc that was designed for America, Region 1, and to convert it into Region 2 so it could be played back on a...
It must be some really good film, that, because I would not be bothered.
I was thinking that. It probably would be cheaper to buy...
Yeah, I was going to ask him what the film was, and I thought, don't go there. FevC, as always, thank you so much. You can always contact FevC via Twitter if you have a question for him, at Gadget Detective. You can also listen to the tech phone in at your convenience via the BBC's Let's Talk About Tech podcast. The weather then for the rest of the day. It's nice out there. Warm.